lifted. So it was really good. So it's good to be with you today, and just being able to see all of you, especially my ex-roommate, Graylin. Okay, he came. So it's been, and I just want to thank the God and the church for giving me the opportunity to share with you from God's Word. So let's pray. Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for this wonderful day and for your abundant provision and your blessings and your grace and the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just, you know, our hearts are filled with joy as we come together in spirit and in truth to worship you, to lift you up, and to glorify you, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you continue to be with us. Help us to cast all our cares, burdens, and worries upon you at this time so that we can really focus and draw near and connect with you, Lord. And Father, may you speak to each one of us, cleanse our hearts from all iniquities, and that we can draw near to you because you desire to draw near to us. And Father, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit and use your servant to proclaim your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, I guess you already know what I'm going to talk about, okay? Because Andy already said it, and it's already in your bulletin. So I think it's a very fitting topic because, you know, the National Day of Prayer, and, you know, we are reminded to pray for our nation and for, you know, what's happening around us. And, you know, as I'm getting older, I realize that one of the hardest things that I have to deal with is bad habits, okay? So, you know, when I was younger and single, you know, I didn't really notice all these bad habits I have, okay? Because I'm so used to them. And it didn't bother me, I never thought about them. So, no one would tell me or complain about, you know, my bad habits. But, you know, later on when I got married, you know, things started to be a little bit different. And, like, actually, I have to start paying attention to, you know, what I'm doing, especially my bad habits. Not only that, I have to start, you know, maybe doing something about them, okay? Because now someone else has to put up with my bad habits, you know? Before, it was just me. I never had to worry about anyone else. Like, for example, you know, Brenda, my wife, she would complain that, you know, a lot of times I forget to flush the toilet, okay? And I leave the sink countertop all wet, and I forget to clean it after I use it. So, you know, before, I never have to do all these things, okay? So that's what I've been used to. But, you know, I've been married for 18 years, and guess what? I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to change. So it's been a long journey. So, you know, to change is like asking me to do something that's really totally new, something that I'm not used to doing. I think we all have different habits, good and bad. But when something becomes a habit, it's not easy to change, okay? As I just shared. You know, today I want to talk about a habit that has to do with our spiritual life. And this habit can make all the difference in our walk and relationship with God. And today we read the passage about Daniel, and we can see that Daniel was a man of prayer. He had developed the habit of praying three times every day. He tells us in verse 10, upstairs in his room, he would open his windows toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. As we can see here, it was his habit. It was his routine. It was something he did no matter what. No matter how busy, no matter how difficult, no matter what happened. What I find interesting here is this habit of prayer was put to the test. Early in the chapter, we see that Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and princes. Because of his great ability, the kings made plans to place him over the entire empire. Daniel was very successful in everything he did. He earned his way up the ranks quickly. The king liked him so much that he kept promoting him to the very top. Eventually, he came to serve just under the king. He was honest, faithful, and always did his job well. Now, soon many of the officials under Daniel became very jealous of his success. They could not accept it. In their eyes, Daniel was a foreigner, an outsider, a Jew who did not belong. He was not even one of them, a citizen of their own race, the powerful nation of Babylon. He was actually a captive, an exile, driven from his homeland of Judah to Babylon. To them, Daniel was a nobody, so they tried to find something to take him down. But they could not find anything. Early in this chapter, in verses 4 and 5, we are told they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." The only thing they could come up with was his faith. So they came up with a plot and manipulated the king to issue a law. And this law says that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to the king, should be thrown into the lion's den. Here we see they randomly made up this new law solely to target Daniel and his faith. And they made sure that whoever breaks this law, that there is no going back, and not even the king can change it. Notice they wanted this law to be effective as soon as possible for only the next 30 days. So they knew exactly how, what, and when to nail him. They wanted to do it fast. They wanted to make sure nothing goes wrong. All of this goes to show how desperate and jealous they were. Now, when Daniel heard about this law, how did he respond? What did he do? I think if it was us, I think there were probably many things that we are thinking about. When we look at Daniel, like, did he try to run away? Did he panic? Did he stop praying? Or did he try to hide it? What's so amazing is that, you know, he just continued to pray. He didn't do anything different. It had no effect on him whatsoever. We see in verse 10, this is how he responded. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Okay, so he basically continued what he was doing. Now, you may wonder why he insisted on praying under such a difficult situation. Now, what was so important about this habit? What made him pray, even if it meant risking his own life? Now, one author commented that Daniel could have prayed differently just to avoid being caught or seen. Like, he could have prayed in private with the windows closed. He could have prayed when it's dark, in the early morning or later evening, when no one can see him. Or he could have prayed somewhere else, right? Or he could have prayed when the 30 days are over. So there are many things that he could have done to avoid being caught. Okay? And maybe that's one of the things that I may be thinking too, okay, if I was in that situation. But he still chose to continue to pray just as he had done before. And he didn't try to hide it. Why? Why did he do that? Because he knew that these people, they meant business. They were just going to get him one way or another. So if this didn't work, they'll try something else. He knew that they would do whatever it takes to nail him. It was just a matter of time. So under these circumstances, he knew very well that the only thing that he can and must do is to pray. When we are faced with such dilemmas, how do we respond? Do we respond with faith and pray, or trust in ourselves? You know, when the king learned that it was Daniel who broke this new law, he was very disturbed. He was very sad. He was so worried for Daniel that he couldn't sleep the whole night. He tried his best to save him, no matter what. No matter how much the king liked him, not even he could save Daniel, because he cannot go against a law that he had agreed to enforce. Daniel knew only God could help him. There was nothing else he could do except to pray. Daniel knew how important it was to pray. He knew God was his source of strength, and that it was only God who can sustain and pull him through this. As he looked to God with faith, he was able to remain calm and stand firm. You know, when I look at Daniel, I think prayer is just as important, or even more important than our physical needs, like sleeping and eating. We don't look at prayer in the same way or in the same light. But when it comes down to it, it is through prayer that God can be our only true source of strength. Imagine if you didn't sleep and eat. You know, soon your body will give up and break down. You'll get tired, weak, and sick. Our bodies are like a battery, a fuel cell. There's only so much energy. After it's gone, we're just running on reserve. And after that, our bodies will shut down. This is also what happens to us on a spiritual level when we don't pray. Our relationship with God will suffer. We will feel weak, worried, and burdened. Prayer is what connects us to God. It's a way to fellowship and draw closer to Him. It's a way to lift our worries and all our cares to God. A lot of times we don't realize how weak, helpless, and needy we are. We are so used to doing things on our own and being in control. How often we go through our day without God. May God help us to trust in Him and pray. You know, I gather many of us here have been Christians for a while. And many of us even grew up in this church. We know what's good for us, what we should do. We know that praying regularly is good for us. It's an important spiritual discipline. So why is it that we don't pray? I think part of it is, because it hasn't become part of our daily routine, like sleeping and eating. You know, when I was younger, in my 30s, my dentist told me that I have gum disease, gingivitis. You know, my gums were bleeding. Okay, he told me that I need to floss. So at the time, you know, I did not do it. It was just too much work. I just didn't want to do it, too much hassle. But after what the dentist told me, I was getting a little bit worried. So, you know, I gave it a try, you know. And I started flossing on and off. And then I noticed there was a difference, you know, when I started doing it. I felt my teeth, you know, were cleaner. I felt more comfortable. Eventually, I was able to floss every night. So I developed this habit. So every night, you know, it became automatic to me. I didn't even have to think about it. Now, I would never go to bed without flossing my teeth. Now, it's the same with prayer. You know, if we keep praying, then it becomes part of our daily routine. With certain things, the more you do, the more time you spend on it, I think you start to like it. I think this is true, especially for things that we enjoy doing. It doesn't take really much effort. We just keep doing it no matter what happens. No matter how busy we are, no matter how much work we have, no matter how much time it takes. Because we enjoy doing it. You know, maybe it's listening to music, watching sports, going on Facebook, whatever you enjoy doing. I think what's important is that you enjoy doing that thing. It's not something you have to do. So what about prayer? Can we also enjoy praying as much as the stuff we do that we like to do? Absolutely. Actually, you know what? It's far, far, far more satisfying than all the things you like to do. Instead of being with your friends, you are spending time with God. It's like being with your best friend, but it's far better than you can imagine. When you are with God, you know, He's always listening. He loves to hear what is on your mind, what is bothering you, what you are happy about, what you are excited about, what you are worried about, what happened to you during that day, what happened at work. He understands and knows you better than anyone. You can tell Him anything and everything, no matter what, no matter how you feel, you know, He wants to hear it. He'll never disappoint you or leave you. He'll always be there. And with Daniel, God was right there with him the whole time. God gave him the strength and courage to stand firm. God watched over and protected him from the lions. He came out of the lion's den without a single scratch. One of the coolest things about prayer is that you can always talk to God anytime, anywhere. You don't even have to go online or text Him. He's just there. You know, I find that after I pray, I feel less burdened and more at peace because I can let go and give my worries and burdens to God. All the stuff that weighs me down and stresses me out, I don't have to carry them. It is quite liberating. There is this sense of relief and peace that somehow everything is going to be okay. It's hard to explain, but the more you pray, the more you experience God's peace. When we keep praying, then we will experience the rewards and blessings. In his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, Bill Hubbell says, "As you grow in prayer, God will reveal more of Himself to you, breathing more of His life into your spirit. That will be the most fulfilling and rewarding part of prayer, more so even than the answers to the prayer you are sure to receive." With Daniel's crisis, we can see how his prayer life played a pivotal role in facing struggles and challenges. One commentator tells us how Daniel responded and says, "When his life is on the line, he did not panic, worried, or doubt. He could have done many other things. Instead, he remained calm and cool. There's no doubt that his regular prayer life that prepared him and helped him to be so calm. He knows from long experience that God can deal with any kind of crisis. No matter how bad things are, he can still pray and give thanks to God even before he asks God for help. Now, in our own lives, we too need to develop a regular habit to pray. Without regular prayer, we will be caught off guard. We'll be unprepared to deal with life crises and struggles. Now, with most habits, the key is doing it on a regular basis, over and over and over again, until it is automatic, until it is a habit. Daniel had developed a habit of praying 3 times a day. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to do the same thing. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you do it. If you're not spending time with God, how about getting together with Him, like 5 minutes a day? How about going to bed 5 minutes earlier? I mean, that may not sound a lot, but if you're going to do it on a regular basis, it's not as easy as it sounds, okay? For it to work, you may have to make some sacrifices. Maybe one less phone call at night, or cut down on your whatever, TV or Facebook. I don't want to give you a bunch of rules and say it has to be an X amount of time, but just focus on doing it on a regular basis. I don't know what it will take. You have to figure out what works for you, what you are comfortable with. With our busy schedules and, countless distractions, it won't be easy. Your favorite TV shows, sports, family, friends, work are all competing for your time. If you don't take time to pray, guess what? You won't. I too struggle in having a regular prayer life. It's tough. There are so many distractions that take me away from God. Just being able to clear my mind and just focus on God is a challenge. It requires lots of discipline, patience, and self-control. We learn from Daniel that the key is to take the time to pray regularly, no matter what. If we are persistent, then we will develop a habit of praying. It is one of the most important and rewarding habits that you can ever develop. Prayer is what connects us to God. Prayer is what draws us to Him. It is He who gives us strength and hope. Prayer is literally our lifeline to God. Without it, we are helpless and lost. Let's start developing a habit of praying today. It's going to make such a difference in our lives. God wants so much to bless us and to be with us through prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Daniel and his example and for his reminder that he is a man of prayer and that he has developed this lifelong habit of drawing near to you and his faith, his trust, and that he is able to prepare for any struggles or crisis that he faces. And Father, we thank you for his great faith and for his trust in you. And Father, help us to develop a habit of just spending time with you and praying and just drawing near to you, Lord. And Father, we need it so much in our daily lives, and that you desire so much to be with us, and you're just waiting for us to come to you. And Father, forgive us, Lord, for oftentimes we forget about you in our lives. And Father, help us to renew ourselves through prayer, and that we can really fellowship with you and even have a deeper relationship and enjoying your presence. And Father, we just give you thanks for this reminder. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.